From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, November 8th. I'm Abby Larico. Drug companies have already sent $100 million to Missouri to settle lawsuits for their role in the opioid crisis, and the state is set to get hundreds of millions more. That money is meant to repair the damage done by addiction.
The day you quit using, your life doesn't instantly turn around. There is a whole process.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports on what communities are doing with the massive payout. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Merrimack River is expected to crest today and through the weekend. The expected high water comes after historic rainfall earlier this week caused flash flooding that killed two people in South St. Louis County. St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports.
The floods are affecting parts of Pacific, Valley Park, and Eureka. In Pacific, city officials encouraged residents to evacuate in anticipation of dangerous conditions. Pat Dubuque is a longtime Pacific resident. She's been filling sandbags and helping neighbors and small businesses pack up their belongings.
There's not really many people that don't open up their doors or say, hey, I'm going to bring over some water, or I'm going to bring some hot coffee to you guys. You're working so hard over there. And it's a sense of community that you don't really get anymore.
Shelters are available at Tri-County Community Senior Center and Mission Community Church in Pacific. Water is expected to start receding Saturday. I'm Arla Kuziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
And as a reminder, MoDOT has closed some roads, including Route 141 under I-44 in Valley Park, which has flooded in recent years. Ameren, Missouri could pay more than $60 million for violating the Clean Air Act at its Rush Island coal plant. The electric utility reached a settlement with the U.S. Department of Justice and the Sierra Club Wednesday. The money would go to two programs to try to make up for years of air pollution from the plant. One program would provide air filters for Missourians, especially in low-income areas. The other would replace some diesel school buses with electric ones in local school districts. This agreement comes after years of court battles related to the plant. A federal judge ruled Rush Island was violating the Clean Air Act and ordered Ameren to install pollution controls. The utility decided to shut down the plant instead. Rush Island ended operations last month. The government of Israel reached an agreement with Boeing to buy 25 advanced F-15 fighter planes made in St. Louis. The deal is worth more than $5 billion. Its announcement comes alongside approval from the U.S. Secretary of State for the sale of nearly $19 billion of military equipment. Deliveries of the fighter jets made in the St. Louis region are set to begin in 2031. Israel has the option to buy 25 more. The U.S. has been a key supplier of military equipment to Israel for more than a year, since a Hamas attack on October 7th of last year. Amendment 3 supporters say the fight is far from over. Voters on Tuesday approved the ballot initiative that places the right to abortion in the Missouri Constitution. Planned Parenthood officials then sued to overturn Missouri's abortion ban and laws they say place unnecessary burdens on patients and providers. At a rally on Thursday, Amendment 3 supporters said they expect legal challenges from legislators who oppose abortion. Rally Speaker Sam Hawick-Horst said volunteers need to stay engaged.
There could be open hearings to where we can have people who are like-minded like us show up and sit there and have their voices heard.
Amendment 3 faced multiple court challenges from activists and elected officials before making it on to this week's ballot. Missouri's incoming governor says it's too soon to say exactly how Republicans will respond to the success of the ballot measure legalizing abortion. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more from his interview with Governor-elect Mike Kehoe.
Amendment 3 passed by about 3 percentage points, but some Republican lawmakers have talked about putting something else on the ballot to undo or change the measure, which legalizes abortion up to fetal viability. Kehoe says it's too early to speculate about what Republican lawmakers will do.
We're 48 hours since the vote was published, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation about what can be done both from a legal standpoint or can't be done from a legal standpoint and what options the legislature will have before them. And I'm sure you'll hear more about it as it moves forward.
In Jefferson City, I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Kehoe also said in that interview he wants to have a state board oversee the St. Louis Police Department. A 2012 ballot initiative gave control over the police department to the St. Louis mayor's office, but Kehoe said he thinks a board appointed by the governor would do a better job.
But we need to figure out a way to move forward to increase the safety in the region and the perception, quite honestly, to potential investors and their employees and customers that St. Louis is open for a business. It's a safe place.
St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones opposes Kehoe's proposal, as do a number of Democratic lawmakers. That includes the mayor of Kansas City, who has a unique perspective on the issue, as Savannah Holly Bates reports.
Kansas City is the only major city in the country that does not have control of its own police department. Mayor Quentin Lucas is against state control and says the city's rise in gun violence is not because of, quote, liberal policies, but because the city cannot enact change.
The governor-elect, and I have great respect for Mike Kehoe, but nonetheless is saying, yeah, if we get state control of the police department in St. Louis, things are going to be better, which you say, well, look at Kansas City.
Lucas says he hopes Governor-elect Kehoe will appoint police commissioners willing to work with the city government. I'm Savannah Holly Bates.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker isn't ready to talk about his political future just yet. Alex Degman has this.
The Democrat promised to continue making Illinois a safe haven and an ally to vulnerable and marginalized communities after Donald Trump's win. He says the state's gotten a lot done in recent years, like enacting statutory protections for people seeking abortions. He says he loves doing that work as governor, but can't say whether he'll try for a third term in 2026.
We had to defend Illinois against an awful lot of policies that the Trump administration was imposing. And so I think that work is going to continue. And I don't have anything to announce today.
Speculation about Pritzker's ultimate political goals increased this year when he interviewed to be Vice President Kamala Harris's running mate. I'm Alex Degman.
The chief judge in Madison County will retire at the end of the year. Judge Stephen Staub says he will leave the Metro East bench in December. The Republican led the 3rd Judicial Circuit, which also covers Bond County. Staub was elected chief judge in 2020 after serving 14 years as an associate judge before that. He heard cases on a range of issues during his tenure. That includes a docket that specializes in asbestos cases, which is one of the biggest in the country. The 56-year-old previously served on the Madison County Board, representing Godfrey, before entering the judiciary. He'll return full-time to private law. The St. Louis Cardinals will keep their current TV home for next season and beyond. The Cardinals and Diamond Sports announced Thursday that they have reached a multi-year agreement to keep the team's games on FanDuel Sports Midwest, formerly known as Bally Sports Midwest. The Cardinals' TV future came into question last month when Diamond Sports cut ties with several other MLB teams for next season as part of its bankruptcy process. The new agreement will allow fans to subscribe directly to FanDuel Sports Midwest without a larger television package. The team says pricing for that service will be released later. The team and Diamond Sports did not release the financial terms of their agreement. Drug companies have already sent more than $100 million to Missouri to settle lawsuits for their role in the opioid epidemic. The state could receive hundreds of millions more as settlements are reached with other companies. State law and settlement rules require the money to go to addiction abatement, treatment, and education. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports, people have differing views of exactly how to spend the windfall.
So this is what's called the Women's Hall.
Bridge of Hope in Lincoln County, Missouri, has been open for around half a year.
Two bathroom facilities and a laundry facility.
Executive Director Dan Colbert says it's a day center and shelter for people with nowhere else to go.
We can't just stop the bleeding. We have to heal the wound. And that is where we're stepping in to fill a void.
Lincoln County's commissioners used opioid settlement payouts to pay for the center. Colbert says Bridge of Hope, which sleeps around 25 people, isn't a traditional addiction treatment facility. For one thing, its owners require residents to be off drugs and substances of any kind in order to stay there.
We're not set up to be a detox hospital. We treat the other things that go along with the actual drug addiction. The day you quit using, your life doesn't instantly turn around. There is a whole process.
The settlement funds do have guardrails. By law, they must be used to treat and prevent opioid addiction and pay for related health care and law enforcement. But within those parameters, there's a lot of flexibility. Municipalities have used settlement funds for everything from drug diversion courts to t-shirts at anti-drug summits. Millions of settlement dollars from McKesson, Mallinckrodt, and other drug companies are split. 60% goes to a state fund and 40% directly to Missouri municipalities. Ricky Wright is deputy director of the Missouri Department of Mental Health, which distributes the state's share of the funds. She says a generation ago, states enjoyed a similar payout from the tobacco industry.
When the funds came into the states, there were not any restrictions on them, and states used them to plug a lot of holes in their budgets.
But this time, there are more rules. Wright says the department distributes state grants based on evidence-based treatment models, but it's not in charge of enforcing how localities spend their settlements.
We're not directly mandating how the money is spent, but we're trying to make sure that everyone knows what's available and to help them understand what the expectations are under the settlement.
That can be important because small municipalities may not have experience treating addiction. Many say current or formerly addicted people and their families should have a say in how the settlements are spent. The Center Project at the University of Missouri St. Louis aims to reduce overdoses among Black St. Louisans.
No.
A few members of the project's community board met earlier this fall.
I know you heard, you know, that parents tell their children to stay away from so-and-so. I was so-and-so.
That's board member Burton Barr, a former heroin and cocaine user. He's now a St. Louis minister who teaches overdose response classes and works with addicted people in prison. He says he sees a need for more accessible treatment options.
There's just not enough resources or not enough beds. A couple of guys that I was helping a few months ago wanted to go in, but they had to wait for, I think it was a week, 2 weeks or something like that, before they can get a bed. And by that time, you know, people have changed their mind.
Andreas Prince, a center board member who's worked in addiction treatment for decades, says settlement funds should go directly to people and families affected by addiction. In Missouri and across the country, that's disproportionately Black men.
And looking at how the African American community has been impacted the worst, I think it should go directly to people that are in recovery or trying to recover.
Advocates will continue to make their case as more settlement money flows into state and local coffers. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our David Cazares edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and I hope you too will be getting some rest this weekend. From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.